This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago. St. Francis de Sales' attention to the little virtues of gentleness, humility, kindness, and cheerful optimism shape monastic life in the Salesian tradition. Learn about the Visitation Sisters at GeorgetownVisitation.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today, of course, is the third Sunday of Advent, which is why we wear the rose-colored vestments and we light the rose-colored candle. But how beautiful, at least every so often, that the third Sunday of Advent also coincides with the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, whose theme is roses. How pleased I was and proud to celebrate this wonderful feast of the Virgin Guadalupe all this week with the novena. Until, you know, I came here, I'd always done novenas, but maybe like once a month or something. I didn't ever do 9 days in a row, and it was a great opportunity and I hope a good spiritual experience for myself. Now, you know, I've told you this before, my parents were Irish and Italian, and I was born on the south side of Chicago. But this is during the 50s, we all heard the wonderful story of the Virgin of Guadalupe. This was not something that was just hidden from us. We heard about it. We heard those stories in church. We heard those stories in school. The nuns told them to us. And I remember when I was a little boy hearing about the Aztec Indian Juan Diego. And we learned from the sisters that he was humble and poor and he was full of love and faith. We couldn't believe that he used to walk 14 miles when he went to Mass. 14 miles over country to receive God's body and blood at Mass. We heard the story many times, how he was surprised en route one morning and how he was transfixed by a flood of light and color and music and how he saw this beautiful princess from heaven emerge from a cloud surrounding the hill, and the hill's name was Tepeyac. And she told Juan Diego, that she was the ever-virgin mother of our Lord and God, Jesus Christ, and that she wished to reveal the true God to all people. And she told him that she was his people's mother and the mother of everyone. And we learned that Mary told Juan that she could hear her children crying, and she knew their sadness, she knew their suffering, she wanted to relieve their miseries and misfortunes. So as I said, back in the 50s, we were these little Irish and Italian kids on the south side. It was beautiful for us to hear how much the Virgin Mary loved Juan Diego and the Mexican people. And we little Irish, Italian, and Polish, and Bohemian, and German kids, we weren't jealous because we knew that Mary was our mother too and that she loved us too. And we know that we are all protected in her arms. And we all lie in the folds of her mantle. We knew then, and we still know now, that we need desperately the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of Jesus, the Virgin of Guadalupe. And why? Mary here in this image of Our Lady of Guadalupe is related to the Immaculate Conception. Because Juan Diego was on his way to church on the feast of the Immaculate Conception when he first had the apparition of the Virgin. And you know that Immaculate Conception, the image is always with Mary and she's got the snake crushed under her heel. And that's why it's so important to remember that we still need Mary's protection, because the ancient serpent whose head Mary crushed is still loose in the world. And he is trying to hurt us, and he is trying to kill us, and he's trying to damn us to hell, because that would only give him the greatest possible pleasure to see God's loved creatures, us, go to hell. And every generation of every people stands in danger from the serpent, Satan, at every moment. How carefully we must place our feet when we go through our lives, because if we step the wrong way, we might be bit by this terrible enemy. That is why we need the protection of the Virgin, because only she, with her son Jesus, of course, can protect us from this serpent who is lying in wait in the grass, waiting to surprise us with his fangs. Now, the devil never appears to us as he is, a foul and evil and blasted snake. No, he appears to us as our friend and our benefactor and our helper. He tells us through the newspapers, through the radio, the television, he tells us that Jesus and the church and the sacraments are foolish. Don't listen to them. Listen to me. I'll save you. And he tempts us just as he tempted Adam and Eve 30,000 years ago when he hissed in their ears, "You don't need God. At least all you need is yourselves. You can do whatever you want. You can take what you want because you shall be as gods." But he's the father of lies. Jesus called him the father of lies, and he's a liar, and what he says is a lie. But what happens is that Satan crawls into our homes, and he begins to live there, right with our families. Not when we have these little scary things in the middle of the night, but he's there all the time because he spreads his poison in our hearts and our homes as he whispers evil things to us by means of the television and the radio and the movies and the newspapers. If your next door neighbor sat down and told you and your children the story that you're going to listen to on television, you'd have him arrested. But we accept it because it's on the screen. There are homes where every room in the home has a television spewing out silliness and filth and dirt, which all comes directly from the devil. And this is what we fill our minds and our hearts and our ears with. Satan is the author of all of those evil movies. Satan is the one who's written those dirty stories. Satan is the one who sings all those bad songs to your children. You know the songs the children turn off when you walk into the room? He sits behind each laptop and keyboard, and he floods us with pornography and temptations to evil ways of life, to gambling and drunkenness and drugs of every kind. Satan crawls into our minds and he gives us thoughts we never had before. He tries to get us to do things we never did before. He gives us evil visions and dreams of death that make us sick and sour. And the modern world is so full of his poison, and it seeps through our veins and into the very lifeblood of our families, and it hurts our families terribly. He's the one who makes us fight and argue and hit and scream each other. Satan loves unhappy families. He hates mother and father and children all in sweet accord. He does not like happy, holy, praying families. And when we do pray and come to church, he makes us doubt ourselves. Well, maybe we must be a little fanatical or something because we're going to church all the time. And how do we know he's been in our homes? How do we know that we've been bitten by him? We will know when we begin to feel that we don't have to take care of each other. When we think it's no problem to ignore our grandparents or abuse our children or kill our babies or be unfaithful to our spouses or ignore the poor. We're not taking care of each other, and he's happy to see us be like that. We will know that we've been bitten by him and we've been poisoned by his lies when we find ourselves believing that modern life is the Messiah, that modern values are God, and that money and pleasure will fulfill us and make us happy. Remember, he's the father of lies, and that's a lie that he tells all the time. We know that only God living in our homes can make our homes happy and families whole and holy. So our only hope against the serpent's poison of sin is to flee into the arms of the Virgin, because only Mary, with her son Jesus, will crush the head of the serpent. The Virgin can save our families, but without the Virgin, our families will be destroyed, I guarantee it. Because she is our strength, she is our protection, she is our shield. I don't know if you ever heard the story back in the 1920s, I tell this all the time, but the Masons and the Socialists and Communists exploded a bomb in the sanctuary, the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe. They're trying to kill God. Let's kill God and throw a bomb in the church. Let's kill Mary. How foolish they were. The whole sanctuary was destroyed. All the marble and the stone and the plaster came crashing down, but the image of Our Lady remained untouched. So I would say that just as the image of the Virgin will never be destroyed if we cling to the Virgin, we will never be destroyed, not us, not our families, not our friends, if we cling to the Virgin. And her face, her image, will be burned within our souls. And Mary's image will never be erased, certainly not from within us. And it will be so clear that people wouldn't even have to go to Mexico City to see the beautiful Blessed Virgin Mary and the beautiful image and the miraculous image, because they will see her in our faces and in our lives and in our homes. They will see in us the Mother of God, Mary Most Holy, the Virgin of Guadalupe. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.